Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Chafbet, chapter 22. Yesterday, we learned that David had sought refuge in Gat, thinking that he would be safer from Shaul outside of the borders of Israel, but barely escaped there with his life, having had to feign madness to prevent being recognized and executed by Achish, king of Gat. In our opening verse today, David returns to Israel, remaining close to the border with the Plishtim. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Vayelech David Misham, Vayimalet El Me'arat Adulam. David left there and escaped to the cave of Adulam. Adulam today is another park just minutes from Beit Shemesh, across the road from Park Britannia, where Azekah is located. So, again, not far from the border with the Plishtim. There are many caves in Park Adulam, and it's pretty much impossible to know which specific cave was used by David, but the caves of Adulam have a long history as places of refuge for those being pursued by their enemies. Some may have hiked there in the Bar Kokhba caves, because these caves are particularly associated with the fighters of the Bar Kokhba rebellion following the destruction of the Second Temple. Vayishmeu Echav v'chol Beit Aviv vayerdu elav shama. While David was hiding in Adulam, his brothers and all of his father's household heard and came down to join him there. Mishbetzot Zahav offers two conflicting explanations as to why David's family joined him now. Abarbanel contends that they were afraid Shaul might take vengeance on David's family if he couldn't find David himself, while the Kliyakar explains in a more positive vein that David's family now rallied around him as a sign of support, having come to believe in him after his miraculous salvation. Many others were drawn to him as well. Pasuk bet vayitkabtsu elav kol ish matzok, v'chol ish asher lo noshe, v'chol ish mar nefesh, vayhi alehem lesar, vayihiyu imo ke'arba meot ish. Everyone who was in distress, who had a creditor, and every man who was desperate or bitter, gathered and joined him, and he became their leader. And there were about 400 men with him. Malbim explains that these are three types of people: those who were plagued by inner conflict, those who faced external pressure, and those who were angry. And the first two groups looked to David as one who had achieved success despite facing difficulties and hoped that he would benefit them as well. And the third group were looking for an outlet for their anger and hoped to find it in battle with David. The fact that David was able to take control of such an unruly assortment of people speaks to his leadership ability, and many of the Mefarshim say that he was able to bring these people to do complete tshuva. David left there, perhaps because his following had become too large to hide in Adulam, and he headed to Mitzpeh Moav, thinking that the king of Moav would offer him protection because of the family connection between them, David's great-grandmother Ruth having been a princess of Moab. So he entrusted his parents and his family to the king of Moab while he awaited his fate, and they remained with the king of Moab all the days that David remained in the stronghold. And Rashi explains, based on the Midrash, that this was a secure hiding place near Moab, and that his family remained secure in the palace as long as David was nearby. However, when David left the area, the king of Moab had his entire family killed, except for one who escaped and was rescued by Nachash, king of Ammon, which we'll hear more about later. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Vayomir Gad Hanavi el David. Lo teshev bamitsuda. Lech uvata lecha eretz Yehuda. Vayelech David vayavo ya'ar charet. God, the prophet, said to David, don't remain in this stronghold. Return to the land of Yehuda. And David went to the forest of Charet in the land of Yehuda. Dat Sofrim explains that God had been sent, possibly by Shmuel, to give David advice and encouragement in what is evolving into a rebellion full scale against Shaul. This is the only time that a Navi appears to David while he's in exile, and Da'at Sofrim suggests that while Shmuel knew there was nothing he could do to stop Shaul in his determination to kill David, he was concerned for David's welfare, and he wanted to give him direction. While he is in Moab, there is a danger that the king would hand him over to Shaul rather than protect him if threatened. In Eretz Yehuda, he will be surrounded by his own tribe, who would cover for him and protect him if they were threatened by Shaul. Shaul heard that David had gathered a following and that he was rising to some measure of prominence. He sat in Giv'ah with his spear in his hand, surrounded by his servants. The pasuk here gives us a sense of Shaul's insecurity. His spear is constantly in his hand, and he surrounds himself with servants who are nitzavim alav, standing ready to fight to protect him should the need arise. Shaul accuses his entourage of disloyalty, of expecting to earn material rewards from David. Pasuk Chet, verse 8, Ki ksharetem kulchem alai, ve'ein gole et ozni bichrot bni im ben Yishai, ve'ein chole mikem alai. You have all conspired against me. No one informed me when my son enacted a covenant with the son of Yishai. Not one of you is sick over me, distressed on my behalf, and cared enough to inform me when my own son set up an ambush against me as this very day. Pasuk Tet, verse 9, Vayyan Doeg Ha'edomi. Vehu Nitzav al Avdei Shaul. Vayomer, ra'iti et ben Yishai ba nove el Achimelech ben Achitub. Doeg ha'edomi, who was standing over Shaul's servants, responded, saying, I saw the son of Yishai arrive in Nov to Achimelech, son of Achitub. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Vayish'al lo ba'ashem, ve'tzeidah natan lo, ve'et cherev Goliath ha'plishti natan lo. He inquired of Hashem on his behalf, and he gave him provisions, and he also gave him the sword of Goliath HaPlishti. Malbim notes that Doeg deliberately altered the sequence of events, saying that he asked Hashem before even giving him the provisions, and he left out the significant detail that David had identified himself as on a mission from Shaul, which would have completely exonerated Achimelech. And he also made it sound as though Achimelech willingly offered him the sword of Goliath, again leaving out the details of the conversation in which David had asked specifically for a weapon, and Achimelech was even a little bit hesitant. It's the only one here, it's the only one, this is the only weapon I have, and that David was the one who excitedly took it from his hand. The king had Achimelech and his entire family, all the Kohanim who were in Nov, brought before him and demanded an explanation for their treachery. Pasuk Yudalid, verse 14. Vayan Achimelech et Hamelech, Vayomar, Umi b'chol avadecha kedavid ne'eman, v'chatan Hamelech, v'sar el mishma'atecha v'nichbad b'veitecha. Achimelech answered the king and said, who among all of your servants is as trustworthy and loyal as David, the king's son-in-law, one who obeys your bidding and is an honored member of your household? It would have been a sacrilege for me to refuse to inquire of Hashem on his behalf. Let the king not accuse his loyal servant of anything or my entire household, for we knew nothing, great or small, about any of this. Note that throughout this exchange, Shaul is referred to as Hamelech. He is expected to act in a kingly manner. We may remember that in his early days as king, Shaul more than once overlooked insults to his status, and he's pardoned Yonatan before. How will he act in this case, when evidence has now been presented that speaks to the innocence of one whom he had perceived acted against him? Pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16, Vayomer Hamelech, Mot Tamut Achimelech, Ata V'chol Beit Avicha. And the king decreed, you will surely die, Achimelech, you and your father's entire household. And the king commanded his officers to surround and kill all of the Kohanim. For they too are guilty of supporting David, for they knew he was running away from me and did not inform me. But the king's servants did not want to lift their hands to harm the Kohanim of Hashem. Pasuk Yodchet, verse 18, Vayomer Hamelech ledoeg, sov ata, ufga b'Kohanim. Vayisov doeg ha'edomi, vayifka hu b'koanim, vayamot b'yom ha'hu 85 ish nosei efod bad. Vayamet b'yom ha'hu. The king turned to Doeg and said, you turn and kill the Kohanim. And Doeg turned and struck and killed that day 85 men who wore linen robes, the garments worn by the Kohanim in the service of Hashem. The mention of their garments highlights their innocence. These are men who are worthy of Avodat HaKodesh, performing the divine service, and they were killed in their very garments in which they served. Pasuk Yud Tet 19 Ve'et Nov Ira Kohanim Hikal Fi Charev Me'ish Ve'Adisha Me'olel Ve'Adyonik Ve'Shor Ve'Chamor Ve'Seh Lefi Charev. And he put to death the entire city of Nov, the city of Kohanim, man, woman, and child, infants and babies, oxen, donkeys, and sheep, all were put to death by the sword. We can't help but note the contrast between Shaul's behavior here and his behavior with regard to Amalek when he was commanded to kill all of those categories in those very words. Whereas there, he allowed his pity to overtake his better judgment. Here, he is merciless. The Midrash in Kohelet Rabbah, Zayin Tetzayin 7:16, cites this as proof that one who acts mercifully at a time when strictness or cruelty is called for will ultimately act cruelly at a time when mercy is called for. When we put human reason before the will of Hashem, we lose our perspective regarding what's important. Shaul has completely lost his perspective by denying the will of Hashem, and his moral judgment is irrevocably impaired. Radak cites Chazal, who taught that the Kohanim of Nov were deserving of death for reasons that had nothing to do with Shaul, and that this was the fulfillment of the prophecy to Eli that his household would be destroyed. Nevertheless, Doeg and Shaul are both held accountable for the massacre at Nov. This is an example of the principle of Megalgalin Zechut al Yedei Zakai V'Chova al Yedei Chayav. Hashem sees to it that good things are brought about by people who are deserving, by good people, and bad things are brought about by those who are obligated, who are deserving of punishment. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, Vayimalit ben echad l'achimelech ben achituv, ushmo Evyatar. Vayivrach acharei David. Verse 20, one son of Achimelech ben Achitub, whose name was Evyatar, escaped the massacre and ran to David and told him that Shaul had killed all the Kohanim of Hashem. And David said to Evyatar, "It's my fault. I knew on that day that Doeg HaEdomi was there and that he would tell Shaul what happened there. Therefore, because I acted incautiously, I brought about the deaths of your entire household. Remain with me. Do not fear. The man who seeks your life seeks my life as well, but you are safe with me." While the moral decline of Shaul is blatantly evident in this chapter, there are two positive messages that emerge from this very disturbing episode. The first is the courage of Shaul's servants, who refused to carry out the unjust sentence of Shaul. We are awed at their unanimous stance and their willingness to risk their own lives by defying the king, and would do well to be inspired by them to stand up and protest in the face of moral injustice. Secondly, David's immediate willingness to take responsibility for the role he played in this tragedy contrasts starkly with Shaul's tendency to make excuses for his behavior, and is an indication of the true humility of David and will become a hallmark of his leadership. Leadership demands responsibility, and David demonstrates here that he will be a worthy leader of the Jewish people. Thank you for learning together Le'ilui Nishmot Imhotenu HaYikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker Aleha HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.